Good evening, everyone. This is the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee meeting for April 27, 2015. I'm the Chair, Bob Lederer, and we'll now have the Secretary, Michael Novick, call the roll, please.
Jim Brown, WPFW.
Present.
Maria Elena Castellanos, KPFT. Janet Coleman, WBAI.
Here.
Jose Luis Fuentes Ramon, KPFA. Mark Hernandez, KPFA. Cynthia Johnson, KPFA. Kim Kaufman, KPFK. Janet Coburn, KPFA.
Present.
Bob Lederer is here, the chair from WBAI. Frank Lefebvre, WBAI. This is Michael Novick, the secretary from KPFK. Serena Roberts, WBAI.
Present.
Nancy Zavarinari-Tomi, KPFT.
Present.
Peter Tucker, WPFW.
Here.
John Wenger, KPFK.
Here.
Okay, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's a quorum.
Okay, thank you.
What about Carolyn Burden? Did you call her name? She's on the call.
She's not on the committee. It was a kind of confusion we sort of switched, and she had a burden of too many committees anyway, and I agreed in the election to run for this committee. So that's how that error happened. I think she was on last year.
She's on the call as a director, apparently.
That what?
Okay. She's on this call as a director, she said.
Okay, well, in that case, she's
right, which means
with
non-voting.
Okay.
All right, so let's go forward. Unfortunately, I'm not online. Right? I don't have access to my computer, so Michael has agreed to read some of the documents I sent out earlier in the day to help us along. So, Michael, if you would, please, could you read the agenda, my proposed agenda?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the draft agenda starts with a call to order roll call, which you just did, appointment of the timekeeper, and agenda approval. The substantive items are, number one, a report from the National Election Supervisor on the timeline and draft budget, including some cost-cutting measures. That's with a discussion for 30 minutes. Item two is consideration of motions on other cost-cutting proposals, 50 minutes. And item three, setting the next meeting date for the Elections Committee, 10 minutes with a time certain of 10:20 p.m. Eastern Time for that discussion of the next meeting, and the time certain for adjournment at 10:30 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, thanks. Thanks a lot. So are there any questions or amendments to that agenda? Okay, well, hearing none, is there any objection to adopting that agenda? Okay, hearing none, then it's adopted. So we need a timekeeper. Would someone please volunteer to just let us know when we reach our limits?
Oh, I'll do it. Nancy.
Thank you, Nancy. Okay, so Michael, if you could please announce the times at the beginning of each item.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for the first item, Joy Williams, the National Election Supervisor, is going to call in momentarily, so we need her actually to launch this item. Maybe we
forwarded some things. You want me to read?
I'm sorry? Say that again?
You forwarded something from her, I think.
Right, I forwarded her report tonight.
Janet Kay?
Yeah, go ahead, Janet.
May I suggest that we do the setting next meeting date while we're waiting?
Perfect, that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, why don't we work on that for a few minutes? So there's a lot happening. I think we need to probably have a meeting sooner than later, so maybe 2 to 3 weeks. What do people think?
Point of information?
Yes.
Yeah, what? Because I'm new to this committee, what does a lot happening mean, and how much does it speed up our mental process, or should it?
Well, hang on one second. I'll answer that in a second. Who just joined us?
Carolyn, I was off the call. I came back on.
Okay.
This is Kim.
I'm sorry, who's the second person?
Kim.
Kim. Oh, okay. Welcome. All right. So in answer to Janet Coleman's question, that's
what was
exactly
her question?
Her question was, what are the many things I just said were going on, because that would necessitate a meeting sooner than a month from now. And really, that's what tonight's meeting is all about. You'll hear some of the proposals of the National Election Supervisor, and we'll talk about some of the other issues that we have to take on to as a committee to try to offer our recommendations to the board about further ways to cut costs that we won't be able to get to tonight in terms of electronic voting and several different other issues. So, I mean, it'll become clear as the discussion goes on as to all the different things that, and of course, the timetable is now moving into high gear as she'll present the timetable as well. But
there's a lot of noise in the background.
Yeah, if there's anyone who has noise where you're speaking from, if you could mute, we'd appreciate it.
Pound one.
Yeah, that should do it.
Okay.
And for the information, people arrive late. We are on the stream because we reached the quorum.
Right. Okay. Well, so back to next meeting date. What about, and if Michael or someone else can open
up. Yeah, I'm looking at the KPFDX calendar. All the Mondays in May are open at this point on the KPFDX calendar. 25th, however, is Memorial Day.
Right.
So the 4th, 11th, or 18th have nothing scheduled yet at the moment.
Serene.
Janet Kay.
I heard Serene and then Janet Kay. Go ahead, Serene.
I suggest Monday, May 11th.
Okay.
That's
2 weeks from today. Who just joined?
Teresa.
Hi, Teresa. Okay, so that's one proposal is Monday, May 11th. Any other proposals?
Anna Kay?
Yes.
Tuesday, the 19th is available as well.
Okay.
Tuesday, the 19th. The
Teresa,
archive.
Please ask to be recognized.
We're going to do the stack.
Alan for the stack.
Go ahead.
The archives should have scheduled. We had our meeting while I was on the road, and it should have been put on KPFDX. So maybe Janice Lane Ewart didn't get to it, but that time is the 19th is taken.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, we really want to avoid conflicting with any other committee or task force.
That's Malcolm's birthday anyway. Sorry.
That's right. So is there anything else, any other proposal, or can we go to a vote about it? Well, actually, you know what? We really do need Joy Williams because we're going to want to ask her to participate in that too. So are there any other proposals for now? We can resume this later in the meeting once she's with us.
Janet Kay?
Yes.
Oh, never mind. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
Just FYI, the Thursday the 14th and Thursday the 21st are also available. The PNB has a meeting on the 7th and nothing else scheduled.
Okay. All right. Well, I think I'm going to try Joy myself. So just hang on. I'll be right back.
I don't know if everybody saw it, but Bob did forward a report from Joy about an April activity report.
I didn't get it.
You're on the distribution list, I don't know what to say, but...
when did it come?
2:33 p.m.
Tuesday, 3 p.m.
2:33 p.m.
Oh.
2:33 p.m., 3 hours ago.
That's yeah, that's Eastern,
forward.
Eastern time.
NES, April activity.
Oh, no, 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 actually that would be...
yeah, that's my
I think
turn.
It was 5:33 Eastern.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I just spoke to Joy. She's coming on momentarily. Who just joined?
Good evening, it's Joy.
Hi.
Welcome, Joy. Okay, so everyone, this is the National Election Supervisor, Joy Williams, and you're up now. We're asking for you to give your report about both the timeline and the budget issues surrounding the mailing, the different options for the mailing. So the floor is yours.
Fantastic. Hopefully everyone can hear me.
No.
You're a little muffled.
Okay.
Are you speaking into the phone?
Yeah, hold on 1 second. I'm going to just take it off speaker. Sorry, give me 2 seconds. Okay, how's that? Is that much better?
That's somewhat better, yeah. Yeah.
How about now?
It's fine. You can go ahead.
All right.
Okay. Janet K. Point of information?
Yes.
So is the April activity report also going to be included?
Joy can address that as well.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
She asked if the activity report that you sent, which I forwarded to the committee, if you're going to discuss that as well. And I said, you know, you can add something about that at the end. I mean, everyone has a copy and they can read the details. But if you want to, you know, make a couple of general statements about it, that's fine.
Okay, no problem. So I'm assuming that we want to go over the budget items first on the different options of the mail suggestions.
I suggest the reverse order just because the calendar issues are not really up for the committee to discuss. They're just kind of factual and pretty quick, and the budget is going to take a while. So, yeah.
Okay, no problem.
And Carolyn, on the stack, I'm sorry to interrupt, but although I'm not on the committee, I am a director, and I would really appreciate a copy of that report. Could someone forward it to me? I'd appreciate that.
I have a point of information.
Yes.
What do you mean calendar issues are not?
The PNB adopted a motion last, I forget the month, maybe November, December, or might have been January, saying we want the ED to hire an NES, we delegate to the NES the authority to determine the calendar. So that's been delegated. It's in the NES's purview. So she's informing us what the calendar will be. Mm-hmm. So go ahead, Joy.
No, excuse me. Could you address...
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Joy.
Oh, okay. So the previous calendar that was sent... the clock would have started on June 1st. So basically, the calendar is sort of just adding additional time in the schedule because some stations will be doing membership drives during that time, and then taking an account of the holidays such as 4th of July, and then when we get to later during the ballot mailing and voting period during Memorial Day, Labor Day. Labor Day. So basically the timeline is just shifted about 2 weeks to adjust for that. So instead of starting where the candidate nomination period would start on June 1st, instead it's starting on June 15th and we'll run until July 15th. And so everything is basically pushed back about a two-week time period and also taken into account the holidays. So that would mean, you know, as I mentioned, the candidate nomination period will begin on June 15th. This is the recommendation thus far. It means that the date of record for voters would be June 30th, when before it was June 15th. So now it would mean that people would have to become members if they aren't already by June 30th, 2015. And so we give about a couple of days from the July 15th nomination period, about 7 or 8 days just for the LESs and myself to qualify all of the candidates and make sure all of the information is correct. And so we would officially sort of have the candidates and notify them by July 24th. From immediately following that time, obviously, campaigning would begin. And so the voting period would begin on, reading my own notes here, August 30th, and then run approximately 45 to 55 days from there, which, based upon our conversation on which mailing option we're going to use, would allow for that.
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Sure, but just 1 second. Joy, were you finished?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead, Kim.
So tell me the June and July dates. I'm a little confused on that.
Say that again?
The June and July dates. I was a little confused.
Can you just repeat them?
Sure. So the nomination period for candidates would begin June 15th.
Okay.
And so that would run approximately 30 days. So that would mean to July 15th, July 14th or 15th.
I see. Mm-hmm. And what ends at June 30th?
So the date of record, which is the amount of time that you must be a member of Pacifica, to be eligible to vote, is approximately 60 days before the date of that we mail the ballot. So if we're that would mean the date of record would be June 30th instead of June 15th, as I previously recommended, because we're pushing things back 14, 15 days.
So in other words, you're going to run the nominations for 30 days, but only 14 days of those will people be able to become eligible, right?
To vote.
To vote or nominate.
To vote.
Self-nominate.
Right.
To vote I object to that. I object to running, solicitations for people to run and then saying, well, you're not a member, so you can't do it. But only if you show up on the 15th day, but not the 14th day. I object to that unfairness of that difference. It should be the whole time.
Okay, let me clarify the situation.
Yeah.
1 second, Joy. As I said before, the PNB, first of all, the PNB has delegated the timetable to the NES. But second of all, the bylaws explicitly give the NES the sole authority to determine the record date in a range between 45 to 60 days before the ballots are mailed. So that is her decision. We are not debating her decision on this call tonight. You can ask her questions. That's fine. But the other thing is, Joy, maybe this would be a good moment for you to talk about the PSA that you're going to be working on in the near future that would give listeners notice that there's an election happening.
This is Kim for the stack.
Okay, let's hear from Joy, and then I'll call on you. Go ahead, Joy.
Sure. So, you know, before the time starting, you know, now the moving process on the moving on the election process, you know, one of the immediate things is running a general PSA that scripts are already written for to notify or, and to run on the stations, notifying members the election process is coming. You know, you must make sure that you are a member before June. Before June 30th. So that's really the first the first thing they hear is that election is coming. I need to be a member, having either donated or volunteered, you know, whatever capacity I'm choosing before June 30th.
Point of information?
Hold on. Were you finished, Joy?
It's,
yeah.
I have a question.
That's what you wanted me to. Yeah, that's what you wanted me. Yeah, okay.
Right. Right. Okay. Yes. Go ahead, Janet.
My question is, can eligibility to vote be promoted as a premium during the May drive? Say we have one in our station. I don't know exactly when everyone else is featuring a spring drive, but you would certainly be able to have all the individual programmers suggest that. It's a good way to become a member.
Yeah, I think that's a great. I mean, that's a great idea to say. You know, elections are also coming up. Make sure you donate to, you know, the station so you're eligible to vote.
Okay, and that's what $25, right? That's a $25 pledge. You get to vote, and you get to you get to vote.
And if I'm correct, it's not just the pledge. It's the act. Like your date of record becomes when the money is at the. Full minimum $25 is actually at Pacifica, you know, which is different than pledging. So, you know, it has
to be. Oh, yeah. Well, that means that you really have to do it by credit card or you may be out of luck.
Well, no, or people can pay.
Well, you won't be able to vote in this election. Maybe a few years from now you will, but not now. If you're going to promote this thing, you got to know what you're talking about.
Right. Well, as long
it's
as
not
the check
really a big
arrives,
selling point.
As long as the check arrives in the station by June 30th, then you'll be a voting member. So okay
fine. As long as we spell these rules out very, very clearly and put them on the air a whole lot.
Okay. I think Kim wanted to speak.
Yeah, and John to the queue as well, please.
Okay.
Oh, I just object to. I mean, just because. The PNB said something, I don't know, months ago. I still want to be on record that I object to candidates being treated differently, that only X amount of nominating period will they be able to self-nominate and, you know, become a member. I object to that. What unequal treatment. So
I'm a little unclear on the suggestion on that because this is according to the bylaws that the date of record is between 45 and 60 days from the ballot mailing date and that the candidate nomination period, you know, is different. So I'm confused as to are you objecting in general to your Pacifica bylaws or specific to something that I'm recommending?
I mean, the bylaws are what the bylaws are, but I think that in order, therefore, to comply with fairness to all candidates who want to self-nominate and may have let their membership lapse, that then you have to put the date of nominating from June 1 to June 30th, whatever it takes to make that nominating people, period, open equally to everybody to so they can self-nominate and pay their $25. Whatever it takes for that to happen. It's unfair. I'm not finished. One more thing. I mean, if you're going to be announcing this on the air and somebody may be out of town and they come back on June 30th, the day after they can no longer self-nominate and pay up, then that's unfair to somebody who heard that announcement on June 14th. That's my position. Whatever it takes to get that equal is what it should be.
So just to respond to that, like the PSA about you know, the date of record is not the only one that is written. There's also a PSA if you want to be a candidate, the nomination period will be between this time as well. Right? So, you know, so it's not that we're only going to do communication that if you, you know, if you're eligible to vote, both of them are going on at the same time. These are just the deadlines. You know, and the bylaws say out that the candidate nomination period is one time, 30-day period, and the date of record is a different, you know, a different metric of 45 to 60 days. So I can only legally do, you know, I'm only following what your bylaws say to do.
That's fine, but you can start the nominating period 2 weeks earlier.
Kim, you've had plenty of time to make your point. Yeah, well, I was just going to say we need to move to other speakers, and as I said, this is not up for a vote tonight. So, Serene, do you still have a point of order?
Alan has a question.
No, I would just urge some self-restraint.
Right. Okay, so
I
heard...
Sal, would you list the...
excuse me, I didn't call on you. Okay, so next is John and then Teresa. Go ahead.
Janet K. asked for the stack
hold on.
Teresa.
Yeah,
what did you just say? I didn't hear you.
Janet K. asked to be on the stack before Teresa.
Oh, my apologies.
And Michael Novick.
Okay, so if Janet was earlier, then
wait a minute, Bob. You called on me. I'm ready to speak. I was before both those people.
Okay, John, then Janet. Then
yeah, I heard Wanger when I was talking.
Okay, go ahead, John.
So my question is this: I'm concerned about the difficulty of getting out the vote, and and I don't know whether this is a factional conflicted issue or not. But are we in? I guess the question would be: are we in general agreement that people should be able to sign up as late as possible, independently of what the bylaws say now? The bylaws can be amended, but just in terms of thinking for voting mechanics, it seems to me, at least they're talking, be nice to have same day registration. Now, for candidates, it's logical you have to sign up, you know, in advance. But as far as the getting out the vote issue is across the United States, one of the reforms being argued for is same day registration. Well, I don't care if it's same day or the day before, but I do believe that we should have pretty close to last minute registration if we're to pay any cognizance at all of what the national trends are for voting reform and getting out the declining voting across the country. So my question is, and I don't mean this to be too nasty or too or smart alecky about it, but is this an issue that for which there is a factional disagreement? I don't see any benefit one way or the other, but so if there's no factional conflict over it, then I'll bring it up at governance and see if we can't move things along, because that just seems like something that ought to be done. So I'm interested in comments about this, but I realize the agenda is really good, but perhaps people can keep this issue in mind as they go forward. I'm done.
Okay.
And Carolyn on the stack for a point of information, please.
And Janet Coleman on the stack.
All right. So I'm going to call on the people who have to be recognized, but please remember we have these very major budget issues that we must address tonight so that the PNB can address them at their meeting on Thursday. So next was Janet Kay.
Okay. So first I want to offer a solution or an option to address what Tim has addressed. The record date is tied to the ballot mailing date, so if the ballot mailing date could be moved out 2 weeks, then the record date could also be moved out 2 weeks. So the other thing has to do with your April activity report. You included ongoing correspondence with Pacifica Interim Executive Director and Elections Board Chair. I assume you meant Elections Committee Chair. But we all need to understand that the Elections Committee is a committee of the Pacifica National Board, that all committees serve at the pleasure of the PNB, that the Elections Committee is not listed as a committee in the Pacifica bylaws, that the Election Committee Chair is not a PNB director, and that the Elections Committee cannot take any decisions or actions without PNB approval. And also, we will have a new executive director and a new PNB chair as of May 11th.
Point of information, please, on that.
Jose Luis joining the call.
Carolyn Burden.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
Actually, the Elections Committee was made a permanent committee.
Is this a question, Carolyn? That's what a point of information
is.
The
question is everyone aware of its fact? That the Elections Committee is in
fact
a permanent
question,
committee.
That's not a question. Is everyone aware of something? Let's go on.
Well, it is as I phrase it.
Who is next?
And I'm wondering if anyone is aware of it.
Okay, who was
Janet
next?
Janet is not.
Staff?
Not
Thank
in the
you.
Bylaws. Not in
okay.
the bylaws.
No, no, but in the PNB. Oh,
excuse me, excuse me. I'm chairing this meeting. I am chairing this meeting. Now, please ask to be called upon. Now, next on the stack, I believe, was Janet Coleman.
I would try to support in every way the idea of having people being able to vote up until the last minute. I think it's good for our listeners, it's good for everybody to try to believe in the idea that these elections may mean anything, and that is going to be a pretty hard sell.
Okay, was there, so, oh, Michael, you had asked to speak.
Yeah, briefly, I'll just point out that the data record was actually, you know, moved along 2 weeks further in this report to the end of June, so it's extending the data record is what Joanne said. And it's often the case in many elections that the data record does not correspond exactly to the
Okay, thanks. Go ahead, Michael.
It's often the case in many elections the date of record of membership does not correspond exactly to the date during which signatures can be collected and nominations made. It's not unusual that it happens, and it's happened. The calendar has fallen out that way many times previously. And the reason that we have a date of record is because it historically and notoriously is difficult for the stations to actually clean up their voting list and determine who is actually a member. It requires some time, and that's why the bylaws are the way they are.
Okay, I'd really like to, you heard that we only have 10 minutes left, and for the entire budget presentation, I'd really like to move that forward. So, Joy, would you present
that? This is Kim. I'd like to be on the stack again.
Okay, well, if there's no objection, I'd like to move to the budget so we make sure we get to this, and then when at the end of that, we can go back to this if there's still time. Right? So, hearing no objection. Joy, go ahead.
Hello, Alan. Alan was on the stack at some point, so...
I kind of object. I think we should get all the thoughts about this part of the meeting in one.
Okay. Well, I did call. Teresa's correct. I had forgotten I called on her. I'm sorry. I'm not at a computer, so I'm not able to track names. But go ahead, Teresa.
Sorry. Okay. I have two things. Number one, when we asked Joy to go over the timetable, the only three dates I heard on the whole timetable were June 15th to July 15th. And then at one point, Joy, you said something about 14th or 15th, and I think you're going to have to be real specific about, you know, the candidate nominations have to be in by 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on July the 15th, because at one point you did mention 14th or the 15th, so I'm confused. The timeline should be real firm, and
sure.
You mentioned those two dates, and then you also mentioned June 30th. What about all the other dates in the timeline? Are you only interested in talking
sure.
about those? Or
no, no, I can go through them all. That's no problem. I was just saying that for those of you who had it in front of you to go through those dates, but I can certainly go through them. And, yes, they are definitive in the NES recommendation, as you see on there. The candidate nomination period is 30 days. That's June 15th through July 15th. The date of record that I'm recommending is June 30th.
Yes.
That following that, to give the LES and the NES time to qualify all of the candidates, that would be July 24th. Not July 24th.
Yes.
Oh, you guys, hold on one second.
While she's checking, Michael, did you get the line from her? Because since I didn't have access, I asked her to send it to Michael to forward to the committee. Michael?
I'm sorry. I could not hear your question. Somebody just
did you get an email from Joy with the timeline?
No.
Okay. Well, we'll ask her when she...
Wait, that's not what... I forwarded that to the email you gave me, Bob?
Yeah. Michael, let's see your LSB email address. Go ahead, Joy.
What's your email? I didn't see anything from Joy.
All right. Well, we'll have to deal with that later. I'm sorry, folks. You know, if my computer access had worked out, you would all have it in front of you. But anyway, go ahead, Joy.
I can, yeah, and I can send it afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's what I thought everyone was looking at, so that could be the confusion from there.
I might have given you an incorrect digit or something, but go ahead.
Okay. So previously, the candidate nomination period was amended on our last call was June 1st to June 30th.
Point of information.
Excuse me. Please don't interrupt her in the middle of her talk.
This is Teresa. May I say something? She has
Point
of order, please.
Yes, your point of order.
I have a point of order.
Hold on. Wait to be recognized, Teresa. Serene, I'm calling on you first, and then I will call on Teresa. Go ahead, Serene.
First of all, this is a report from the NES. It is not a governance meeting. So anybody who's unhappy about anything and there are directors on the call who are performing, please take it to governance. We have two amendment periods this year. You can bring all your gripes and change all the bylaws then, okay? Let's focus on getting the information from the woman. And please, there's a particular member who has a pattern of speaking without being recognized and interrupting and arguing.
If it's not me, can you move on?
When she claims it's a point of information, that behavior really has to stop. Even if this person were not a guest on the call, who's here to do a particular thing for us.
Point of order?
Inappropriate.
You can't interrupt while someone's speaking.
I can't interrupt with a point of order?
She's finishing.
She's not making a point of information. She's just carrying on.
It's not a point of information. She said it's a point of order. Serene, were you finished?
I'm so done.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mr. Chair, my point of order.
Yes, go ahead, Teresa.
My point of order is... I have two items that I wanted to hear. I want to hear the timeline. I don't want to hear explanation. I want to hear the timeline, and it should just be dates. And my point of order is that she's repeated the June 15th through July 15 four times. You know, I want to move on to the other dates. I want to know the other dates without explanation. I just want the dates.
Okay, that's not a point of order. It's fine for you to clarify what you want, but she was attempting to answer your question by restating the entire thing in context. So I think we should give her the respect to express herself as she thinks is the best way to clarify issues for the committee. So, Joy, please go ahead
and, folks, please do not interrupt her. Mr. Chair, could I say the other thing that I want while I'm at it?
Yes, quickly.
Okay, because I might not get in. I want to know if we have gotten a complete bid from Election Services Corporation.
No, we did not go that route this year.
Because I'm looking at Sierra Club ballots and Amnesty International ballots.
Okay, we're not discussing that right now. We're discussing the timeline, and we are way out of time for the timeline. So, Joy, please finish, and please no one interrupt her so she can complete the explanation or the recitation of the dates and so forth. Go ahead, Joy.
Okay, I won't start over again. The mail date of when the ballots will be mailed will be August 31st. The ballot return date would be October 25th.
And wasn't there one more thing in the event of quorum falling short?
Yes. In the event of quorum falling short, the election can be extended at a station if a station has not reached quorum by up to 4 weeks. And that's done at discretion to allow for members to respond. So it would be up to 4 weeks. So there's no definitive time on that.
As per the bylaws. Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Teresa.
I'm sorry. I did not hear what it is happening on August 25th.
Okay, Joy.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
She asked, what is the event that you mentioned for August 25th?
The ballots will be mailed.
Yeah, the ballots will be mailed on August 31st. That
no,
is the ballot mail
August
date.
1st.
There is nothing with the 25th. It's only the 31st ballots are
the
mailed.
Only 25th. I mean, October 25th falls on a Sunday, but the ballot return date, that would be the 60 days. So my apologies. It would actually, I just looked at that. It's October 26th. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Carolyn,
on the Sky. I'm sorry, Carolyn.
Okay, folks, we really need to move on to the budget.
1 minute
so
left.
Quickly.
Okay, Carolyn,
very
a point
quickly,
of information,
Carolyn.
Please.
Go
Thank
ahead.
You. I hear in, dates and so on, but I don't hear, and I would like the National Supervisor to address the question of what attempts have been made to collect email addresses and comply with the board, the Pacifica National Board's directive that we work with email to every extent possible in order to save some money. I'd like to see maybe comparable statistics on how much it will cost us not to use email and to use email, but I don't have any information about how what efforts are being made to collect email data from all the members and use email addresses wherever possible, because the board did recommend that and require that. In fact, it's a requirement, and I kind of hear that being not addressed. But I wonder if the supervisor could tell us what efforts are being made at each station to collect email addresses and use them.
Well, I can't speak to stations' opportunities to collect email addresses. I was asked to give different options for the election materials mailing and using online resources and pushing members to use the online resources instead of the full ballot mailing.
Okay,
One
yeah, let
over.
Me... Let
I'm
me
sure I didn't understand that last statement.
Specifically, I was not asked as NES to focus on helping stations collect email addresses for the elections process.
Oh,
yeah,
but you know how they're being done is my question.
Well,
you,
let me clarify. Let me clarify. This is not particularly within the NES's realm. This is within the interim ED's realm, and she's not able to be with us on this call tonight, so this would be a question better directed to her. But she has said on calls that you were not present on, Carolyn, that indeed that is one of her, has been one of her directives to the GMs, is to collect as many email addresses as possible. But she, but you
and have they complied? I'm glad to hear that. Thank you
can
have they
get
complied?
More from her when she's, you know, hopefully with us on the next call. So,
Kim?
At this point, hold on, Kim. At this point, we're out of time on this entire item, which includes the entire budget, which Joy hasn't even started to present. So I would like to propose that we add, let's see, it's 9:46, that we add 20 minutes to have her presentation and questions about the different mailing options, and then we go on from there to motions about which option we want to support or recommend to the board. And, you know, and then continue from there. So is there a discussion on my motion?
I'll second it, Alan.
Okay.
What is the motion again?
Motion is that we now move to the item that was supposed to have been covered within the half hour that we just used up, which is the budget items on the different options for the mailing, and that we allocate half an hour to that discussion. And then followed by motions about which option we want to support or other, you know, different options. Okay, so
point of information.
Yes.
If I may, does that the mailing? Does that include emailing or only postal?
That's what she's proposing is mailing options.
Point of information.
Yes.
Was there any effort made to compare? Email or online voting. My understanding is the PNB passed that motion and it's never been repealed.
Okay, let me repeat what we've said on many of these calls. Okay, the PNB passed a motion for e-voting in 2013, I believe. So that is the current policy. But the bylaws also say that there must always be a paper ballot option. You can never eliminate that. So the question is not whether to have e-vote, or it's not whether to have paper balloting, but you know, in what form you're going to do it. Okay, so that's what Joy will be addressing in a minute, if we could all agree to just move on to that part of the agenda. So is there any objection to moving to that?
Well, there is to move on to just paper. There is
No, I'm not saying you can't bring up your questions about other ways to get the information out. I'm just saying let's move to that discussion and let her present what she's done, and then you can ask her about other possibilities.
I have a follow-up question. Are you saying that the PNB passed a motion which violates the bylaws, and that's why you're not aligned with?
No, I am not saying that at all. I am not saying that. I'm pointing out to you that no matter what the PNB's policy is on e-voting, we still have to have a paper aspect, and that's what Joy is going to present. She will, at the next meeting, present her research on the different e-voting companies and which one she's recommending. And that will have to do an executive session because it involves a proprietary, you know, offer from an amount of money being suggested by a particular company. So we won't get to that tonight, but what we will get to tonight, I hope, if we can just get to it, is the paper ballot possibilities and the different ways, you know, that the mailing could be arranged. So is there any objection to moving now to that discussion for 30 minutes? Okay, hearing none.
I thought you said 20.
Did I?
Yes.
Okay, I stand corrected. 20 minutes. So, Nancy, please time us for 20 minutes. And Joy, please go ahead and present your options.
Sure. So, on the first page of what was sent is the normal Pacifica procedure of sending every voter a ballot, a candidate information booklet with the return envelope, the fundraising appeal, and the postage as proposed here. So, on this chart, it's completely spelled out by each station. What the cost is for each element of that particular piece of the mailing. There would be a ballot, the fundraising appeal. All of this information would be in black and white, obviously not color. Ballot, a fundraising appeal, the election booklet, which I averaged, sort of using the same numbers, assuming that it would be the same amount of candidates and the same number of pages from the election booklet from the 2012 election, so that's the cost. The outer envelope, which would, the difference between the outer envelope and the return envelope is obviously the outer envelope would have to be machine-fed because the specific address of the voter would be printed on there as well, the return envelope. So the total amount of the voter materials is what you see in blue. That's what make up the materials that would be mailed to each voter. The postage send options, we discussed this on the previous call. There are two different options, sending it a regular first-class mail, which, as you know, postage has increased, and that's 49 cents a stamp. However, if we go with bulk rate, that would be the cost. It reduces the materials are basically the same weight and the same average, so you can use that option in using a mail house to use the nonprofit bulk rate. The postage reply options, that's if on the return envelope is obviously no postage, there would be no cost. However, if we used business reply, meaning that we would only incur charge when someone actually puts the return ballot and hopefully a check with the fundraising appeal in the mail. And so that's estimating that they're using the same rate of return from the previous election, so averaging that we would get about a 5% return from that was sent out of eligible voters. So in orange, you'll see the two proposals. There's one if you're sending it first-class mail. The second one if you're sending the materials by bulk postage. Both, and then you'll see in yellow the two what was spent from 2012, what you spent with the election services, I think was the vendor,
election corporation services, and so the savings that each station would incur in the total savings based upon both of those options. Do you, Bob, do you want me to do all three versions or just take questions on each of them?
On both
versions.
Yeah, why don't you do both, and then we can take all the questions at the end.
So on the next page is my recommendation. This would mean that there would be two mailings to eligible voters, and I'll explain why I think, you know, that's what my recommendation. So the first large postcard would be similar to the mailings you probably get, direct mails you probably get from when people are running for president or from other elected office. It would have information, voter information, the list of candidates who are running, and also a phone number if you wanted to request an actual paper ballot. This larger postcard mailer at 6x11 will be sent after the confirmation of candidates. And then a second mailing would go out. It would be a regular postcard for 4x6, would be sent with the instructions and the link with the unique for a voter to actually cast their vote, and that would be sent when the voting period begins. So both options for the mailer and the postcard, those amount include the postage, and so you have the option there. The main reason why I am recommending this option is because I think it would contribute to increased turnout for the election process. One, that there you'd have two actual hits to a potential voter. One, in notifying them about the election process, while we'll also have the PSAs and there'll be information at the station. They'll be getting one piece that talks to them about the election process and who's running, and then they'll get a second piece reminding them of the election process and also giving them the option to log on to actually complete their vote. So I believe that this would help and contribute to increased turnout because you'll have greater touches, as you say, to an actual voter. And then finally, on the third page, you'll just see by each station, you know, on the left column is the expenses that were, or the 2012 actual expenses, what was spent on this part of the budget, and then the two options, whether the full mailing being sending a complete booklet and the ballot and all of that information, and then the second one being the postcard option, which would be actual two mail pieces.
Okay. You finished, Joy?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, so now the floor is open for questions about the two proposals that she's put on the floor. One, the kind of the similar package that we've used in prior elections, which is the, you know, the ballot, the fund appeal, the booklet with the candidate statement, and the return envelope, right? Did I leave anything out, Joy?
Yes.
Right. And then the other option would be two postcards. One, when is the first one? Before, 2 weeks before the, remind us the date.
So the
if your proposal were adopted.
Sure. So the first larger piece would go out after the confirmation of candidates, sort of during the campaigning period, and the second one would be the regular ballot mail date, which would have been August 31st.
But that would be limited to a website that you could go to cast your vote, or if you want the paper ballot, you have to call a number. Is that right?
Right. So the first mailer would include information. It would say that you'll get a notification with the link on where you can vote. But if you would like to upfront request your mail ballot, which would be helpful for both the NES and the LES in that process, you could do that as well.
Okay.
So it's basically
right.
giving
now,
people more time.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so now the floor is open. Go ahead. Questions for Joy?
Carol, I'm a tech after everything else.
Oh, Michael, yeah, let's start with committee members. Who was that, Michael?
Green.
Was that Michael? I heard a male voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yes. Michael, then Serene. Michael?
Yes. Under the postcard option, we would still have to mail ballots to people who requested the mail ballot, right? So there would be some additional mailing cost. Is that right?
Correct. There'd be a slight, if we did the second piece, the second option, in let's say the first piece goes out and about 2% of people request the actual printed ballot, they wouldn't then also get the postcard mailing, for the second mailing.
Right.
They would actually get a paper ballot.
Were you done, Michael?
Well, the question about both of those is then also the we haven't really discussed this yet, but the question of the ballot, the candidate statement. Couldn't really be handled by a postcard, right? If people wanted that.
That is correct.
Okay. Sorry, thank you.
10 minutes.
Okay, thanks, Nancy. Serene?
And then Janet Kay, can I get on?
Sure. Go ahead, Serene. Serene, are you with us?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't realize I was muted. If we do first-class mail, we're talking about 68,000, 69,000. If we do bulk mail, and this is using the previous method of sending everything to everyone, we're talking 52. But if we do the postcard, we're looking at 47. Am I tracking correctly? If we do both postcards?
The two postcards, yeah.
It's 47?
Joy?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear your question.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure that I'm reading your chart correctly. If we do the standard, envelope and mailer and everything, and we send it first class, it's 68. If we do bulk mail, it's 52. If we do the two
correct
postcards, which allows people to call for what they want or to simply vote online, which I'm not sure has anything to do with email. Email voting is a totally different thing, but whatever. Then we're looking at 47.
That is correct.
Were you done, Serene?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. I'm sorry, I forgot who was next.
Janet
Kay?
Okay. Carolyn on the side, please.
And Carolyn. Yeah, we're going to go committee members first and then non-members. Go ahead.
And then
Janet
Alan
Kay
for the staff.
Okay.
Thank you.
Janet Kay.
Thank you. Okay, so going back to Michael's question about for the option number two, if let's say 2% receiving mailer request the ballot be mailed to them,
mm-hmm.
did you factor in that mailing cost into this table or this cost, the cost of that? Do you
sure
have any idea how much that would be or how much would be added?
Sure. No problem. So no, it's not in the table that you have, but in the estimated, if 2% request a printed ballot, that adds about $1,300.
So that
but
would
then
mean
remember,
that
we're not sitting, but then also the second postcard amount would be reduced because we're not sending the same amount of the second postcard out.
So what is the difference between the cost of the second postcard and sending a ballot out in terms of the postage?
Sure. I think it's 37 cents per piece. Yeah, that requires me to do math on the call.
Yes. Yeah. In any case, it sounds like it would be a little more than 46,816. Maybe not much more, but a little more.
Not like So you would basically be adding 1,300 for the 2% requesting mailing, but then also subtracting subtracting about the same amount for what you're not sending the second postcard. Because the second, yeah. So it ends up averaging being about the same. It may be plus or minus $500 or $600.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Michael Beck's the SAC also.
Sure. I'm sorry. Who? Which among the committee members did I call on next? I apologize.
Teresa.
Go ahead.
I'm a little bit confused. Whether you call it, so you're saying, well, let me just say this. I've got this thing that I've got from Amnesty International, and I've got one from Sierra Club. And what I've got, it offers me, if I want to go online, I can go online and vote. And the challenge, I think, is that with these two other nonprofits, their credential, because they have a nominating committee and they have a limited number of people running, they don't have a lot of weight in listing the credentials of their candidates. I mean, we could have 30 or 40 candidates for these offices, whereas here for the Sierra Club, it has 9 candidates. So it can't be really, really heavy. So are you saying that when you send these things out, you're not going to send out a complete 200-word or 100-word description for each candidate, that they have to specifically request that if they want it, or they can go online and see that? Is that what you're saying?
That is correct with the second option. With the first option, it would have the election booklet includes the statements. With the second option, it does not. And, you know, there's also the recommendation of, you know, people get the first mailer, and if they want to save us money, you know, Bob, I don't know based upon the bylaws if this can happen, but if they get the first mailer and saying to save us money, we don't need to send you the second one, you can just register online and get emailed your unique code, that would save us money. That's the option that's there. So to answer your question, yes, the second option, all voters would not be mailed the statements either.
Okay, so if I understand this correctly, the first thing you'll get is a postcard, and this is a larger than like a regular postcard, but I know I just sent some postcards, and they cost 33 cents each. This was first-class postcard. I don't know whether they were for forever stamps or not. But you're saying that these huge postcards that you sent out, they only cost how much money to send out?
Well, so one is a 6x11, so it's a mailer. Just to give you a point of reference, I don't know if you get political mail. When candidates are running for office and they like their, you know, the bigger glossy with their picture of their family and their bulleted issue statements, it would be like that. And so it would be that size, the larger size. And so with it, using a mail house to do that is different from, say, you sending postcards out yourself. Using a mail house and sort of the printing, it can be anywhere from 45 cents, including postage, to 97 cents, including postage. So the quote that I gave here is based upon the lower range.